about the young widows. Okay. So we started this last week. We didn't read this, so Elizabeth, would you read chapter 5, verse 3 through 8?
Yes. Honor widows who are widows indeed, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. But she who gives herself to wind and pleasure and is dead while she lives, prescribe these things as well so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Okay. I grew up, even I remember as a teenager, calling this widows indeed. And the New American Standard is the only version that I found that uses widows indeed.
And King James does.
The King James does?
Yes.
Okay. The New King James does not. But anyway.
The ASV does too.
Well, I looked them all up. I don't know what happened. Okay, thank you.
The New King James does.
It just says widows.
Well, it says really widows.
Who are really widows, yeah. The really widows is the widows indeed, and we're going to talk about that. So, we want to talk about what is commanded in verse 3. I think we mentioned that last week. Paul's writing Timothy. He says, honor widows who are really widows in the New King James. So these widows indeed, what is involved in this honor? Honor is a command to show respect. It's demonstrated by our attitude. It can involve financial support, but that's not the only thing. It doesn't have to be financial support. It can be other things. So widows indeed are widows, as I understand this, who do not have any family to help them. And then when he talks about widows, those are widows who do have family to help them. This honor involves caring for them physically and possibly financially as they grow older. Most of us have already taken care of widows that needed our help in the family. This is supporting them with anything that's necessary. And so we mentioned last week the two classes are what we've been talking about. He's writing Timothy, some widows have families and some widows do not. And so I also want to talk about piety. Piety is respect and reverence, and it involves obligation. If there's something we need to do, then we need to do it. And in verse 4, we want to look at how is true godliness or piety shown to our relatives, and how is it viewed by God? Well, it's shown to our relatives by doing just what we're talking about. Verse 4 said, if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. So this is how God views it. It's good and it's acceptable to him.
Sandra, in the margin on piety, it's the margin says give back recompense. So it does include financial support if that's needed.
Mm-hmm. And there's many cases where that is needed.
In our day and age, with Social Security and so many people who have savings, you know, mm-hmm. that we've been blessed in this country. We do still have some people who need this.
Mm-hmm.
But so many times, I think, well, they're well off. They don't need anything. They may be a millionaire and still need some visitation, some respect. You know, if this is honor widows, you know, in other places they're told honor the king.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same thing. It's not, you know, you don't have to worry about taking care of the king financially.
Yeah.
But you do show respect and honor, and that's what we're to do to these widows, whether they're our parents or somebody else's.
That goes back to our attitude, doesn't it?
And, you know, so often we all see it. People are in nursing homes. They're where they need to be sometimes with care for care. But the children are neglect, and they don't go see them, that they're not devoted to mm-hmm. giving that emotional support. They're being physically taken care of that they couldn't do themselves, but they're not taking care of them like their mama did when or daddy did when they were little,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so they're not doing what this says. If they just put them somewhere, they're getting taken good care, meds, doctors, you know.
Sometimes they're getting good care.
I said they're getting care.
No, but sometimes they're not.
They're not. Care. Right.
As a child, just because you feel like I'm taking care of their physical needs, that doesn't mean you really have. You still have to stay on top of that if it's not in your home.
Amen to that.
When women in nursing homes, they make excuses for why their children aren't there. You know, they want you to think that their children still care for them. Mm-hmm. And but you know, as we make time, they can make time
mm-hmm.
to, you know, go and visit them, encourage them.
Or even if they're in their own home. We all know an instance where somebody lived in her daughter's home and she was not getting the care.
Right.
And so it's pitiful. It's a shame for God.
And I was thinking, even while y'all were talking, even if they are getting good care, sometimes just a 10 or 15 minute phone call can make a big difference. They may be in the best care in the United States, but they can still be lonely. And sometimes just like y'all are saying, a little visit, a phone call can make all the difference in the world.
Another thing is taking children with you. I mean, children bring such a happiness. So as long as they're well behaved, you know, they just bring happiness to the heart.
We've all heard probably of Christians who took their children. And, you know, these people are talking about that years later, how much it meant to them. Just like you're saying, it just brings a smile.
Or you go, someone else goes, and on the refrigerator is a picture that the kid did, you know, about 4 years ago, you know, and it's still on the refrigerator. Yeah, it's on the
floor,
you know.
Yeah. But, yeah. So I think this was mentioned, but what are children and grandchildren repaying that Paul is talking about? That is also in verse 4. Repay their parents. So what I'm asking, this wasn't one of your questions, but what are they repaying?
Well, that's in the margin, it says recompense.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like money, but that's like Andy taking care of me after the hip surgery.
Yeah.
I took care of her. Well, so it's not always money. In fact, it doesn't have to be money. It just has to be a care.
More often it's not money, isn't it?
No.
What did you say, Sally? Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What you said.
If we didn't throw money at something sometimes, you know, like we've done our part. I mean, that's the easy part.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have money, but even if you don't, it's easy to find ways to give them the financial things that they need, especially in the country, finding other services that will pick up what they need. Or if we are not financially able to do that, there are people who are not. Some are, some are not. But that's just a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, they need somebody, they need to know somebody cares. How would you have felt as a child if you felt like, and we probably all run across children that we see parents that we know their children don't feel the care that they are to see. And then as a parent, even if you were a good parent, and your child doesn't care enough to see to your, not only your financial needs, but just see how you are, see, you know, really find out what they do need. Because sometimes you don't get it in the 10 minutes on call. Those are correct. I'm not counting those. Sometimes, even if you live afar, you just need to get on the plane or get in the car and go and plan to spend 2 or 3 days to see what they need, help them fix things around the house, to, especially if it's a woman that, you know, her husband's dead, or even a husband, even men can't do everything they think they can.
I know of a situation that actually happened just this week. We have a friend we were talking to that works, not really part-time, but doesn't have to work every day of the week, and he got a call from his aunt, and his aunt was asking him if he could come and visit someone in the family that really needed it. And when he got off work this week, he was going to go up to where this aunt was and see this other person. So that's what Pat's talking about. Sometimes we just need to get in the car or whatever it takes and go see this person.
When we were young, my mother was in the hospital having her fourth baby, and my dad took my sister to see the doctor, and she had measles. So when she came home from the hospital, we all had measles at once. And as a rule, my mother's sister, Aunt Rhoda, came to stay with us. So my mother didn't have to do all that.
Well, she was taking care of a new baby.
But you know, this widow indeed, and of course later we're going to talk about over 16 years old and this time, of course she's done and everything. But it's Martha has put her hope in God. So that then points to, okay, if she's put her hope in God, what does that say to people who proclaim God and Jesus as their master and what he has said to do about this? So then there comes, it lays at my doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's put her hope in God. Well, God's not going to bring us out the groceries. God may have providence to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's his business. But my business as one who is a follower of God, if I do what God says and be judged by it, then I better be out there and seeing what I can do.
We may be the providence that God has provided.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay. Y'all answered children and grandchildren very well. What duty was the church to have towards those widows who had no family? Verse 16, we didn't read it, but it says, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows, which is widows indeed. And so what I get out of this verse is it's implied if this woman does not have any family, then that falls to the church to take care of them.
I understand all that. It talks about the widow who is put on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never quite understood what all this list is about. But there are criteria, it looks to me like, for the church to be able. I think this list is more than just a one-time helping of something. That it's, the church is taking on the responsibility of taking care of this woman as her family would have if she had it. And so, and it's always been interesting to me that she has to be at least 60 years old. You know, under that, is she not able to work and support herself? And now, women even over 60, and we live in such a different society, but it seems like it must be she cannot take care of herself. For some reason, she cannot take care of herself. But as Linda said, you know, it's not just you, but even then, if the church needs to take care of. This woman has to be a faithful Christian. She has to be devoted. She's got to show herself and prove herself before she reached this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't wonder what happens to a woman who's learns the truth later in life, and you know, there's so many, there's ifs, ands, and what's the best, even being on this thing dead, that there are some criteria, this woman being put on the list and being taken care of, to, as it says, the church to assist. This is, for the church to be burdened, this has to be a last ditch thing. This has to be her only avenue of help.
Yeah.
Sorry, not to you. Acts 5, you know, there was a need that arose in the holistic widows for being neglected. And so in Acts 5, it talks about the serving of tables. And so they were served, widows, you know, these women were served food, or the daily needs were met, and this kind of thing. That was the deacons did. They were put evidently on a list, you know, and this is how their needs were being met. And so, you know, we have an example of the church doing this, and the apostles saying, we're going to do prayer and teach it, you know, we're doing this. So that's why they had the deacons, and that's why the church daily serving tables, meeting the needs of the groups.
I'm going to look at Acts 6 in a few minutes and see about that. So we want to look at the description of the widow that Paul considered to be a widow indeed in verse 5. And these things are, they're acts, but it also, I think, falls to her character. And I think these were already mentioned. The first one is trust in God. She has her hope or confidence in God, as was mentioned. And the next thing that's mentioned, she continues in supplications and prayers night and day. This is mentioned twice when Paul's talking about widows in this chapter. This is a widow that prays. She believes God is going to hear her prayer. And she prays constantly for all different things, for people of the church or for whatever. And it's interesting, the next thing, if she lives in pleasure, and she can't take part in any of this. This is in verse 6. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. This is a woman that I think is leading an ungodly life. She cannot be supported by the church. Lives in pleasure, I believe, involves indulgence. She thinks more about herself than anything else, as opposed to the woman that prays all the time. It refers to a life of comfort focused on her own desires. She thinks more about what she wants.
Does your person not say want and pleasure?
Does
your just say pleasure?
Let's see.
Yes.
Mine does not say wanton.
Okay.
Which is interesting because later in the chapter, it does say wanton when it's talking about the younger widows.
That would describe to me what, you know, the pleasure is, as much as having a good time in your own life.
See, NA is B, is the only one that uses wanton in that particular verse. He's talking about living in pleasure, giving yourself the pleasure, self indulgent, getting to love through living. And just in that verse, but like I said, it's
going to be a different word. I don't know.
You know, it would be interesting to know if it was a woman who had children and she was living and wanted pleasure, that they withdrew from her. That'd be interesting to know.
Yeah. This is not a good thing. This is not a good description of any Christian, much less this widow. It also says, she is dead while she lives. I think that's mean dead to the spirit, separated. That would be a good reason, Elizabeth, I think, to withdraw from her if she's dead. That reminds me of Galatians 5.
You know, and also to me, it's the opposite of putting your trust in God. It's dead in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Trusting in God, continuing in prayer, versus looking for all the answers in all the wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, that particular word is only used twice in the New Testament, here in James. Particular word that is translated wrong.
That is interesting.
And that's devoted to. So either you're devoted to what is good.
Mm-hmm.
So the woman who works and she's done all this kind of stuff and everything, and she, but this person is devoted to pleasure.
Yeah.
Versus God.
Turn to Luke 2. Let's look at a woman who is a very good example of a widow. Verse 36. Pat, would you read verse 36 through 38?
And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then, as a widow, to the age of 84, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers.
Did you read 38?
At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all of those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem.
So, I don't think we know exactly what the 84 years refers to. I don't think it's clear if she'd been a widow for 84 years or if she'd been in a temple. But the thing was, whatever it refers to, she spent many, 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 many years in the temple working. This is a woman who had good works, and it talks about what Paul was talking about, the praying. Prayers night and day. And I also get a picture of someone who talked to people that were coming in the temple. She took that opportunity. She was pious. And I think she spoke to anybody who would listen to her.
Interesting, though, she must have started this as a younger woman.
Mm-hmm.
Unless she was very old when she got married. It doesn't say how old, you know, she lived with her husband for 7 years. But then, until she was at least 84,
mm-hmm.
she did, and so I don't know if as soon as her husband died. Mm-hmm. She started this in all these years, serving in the temple. There's more about the temple that I don't understand than I understand as to what went on there daily.
And another part of the lesson, we're going to look at Exodus 20, but in Ephesians 6:2, what does Paul say? We are to do the same thing we're talking about. Honor your father and mother so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. This is one of the Ten Commandments. So that's another place where Paul's writing about honoring them. What scathing summation does Paul have for children who neglect to care for their widowed parents and grandparents?
They're worse than an infidel.
Worse than an infidel. An infidel or unbeliever is even taught by nature to provide for their own relatives. And a non-believer can recognize the duty that they would have for their parents.
And
yes.
We have an example with Jesus Christ as he was on the cross,
mm-hmm.
making sure that his mother was taken care of.
Right. Good example. A failure to provide what we've been talking about is equal to denying the faith. And then I mentioned Exodus 20 is the same thing as Ephesians 6. Let's look at the negative side. Turn to Mark 7. Linda, would you read verse 8 through 13?
Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. He was also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is Corban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that.
Okay. So we're all familiar with the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. So Jesus is talking to them. He's making a contrast between God's will and empty traditions, which is what they're trying to fall back on. Corban, what I could find out, was like a pious-sounding evasion of the commandment that God has given us. They were not honoring their parents. I think they needed to support them financially. And they were saying, well, I've already given to God. And so that was their answer for supporting their parents.
You know, we have to be careful about society norms today. And even the people who are getting older, parents can be as bad as this is as comparing children. They I don't want to be a burden to you. I don't, you know, and so they make choices based on what society wants are doing. There is a huge business across this country. It's called, you know, homes and assisted living, and not that that's not needed in some cases. But it is a catch-all in the minds of so many people in this country. You know, in some countries, especially Asian you don't find that, no matter what. But I think society norms can become tradition, and we can fall into the trap.
Well, one thing there's a lot of us old bits in here. One thing we need to remember is to let our children have a. I have run across so many parents. I'm going to a nursing home. I'm not living with any of my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing that. I'm not going to move where they are. And so we need to allow our children to help us and do what they know God wants them to do. But if we don't allow it, we're going to be the ones to stand in judgment for that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people, I've heard people say, all my kids are born in this house and I'm dying in this house. Well, okay, you don't have any kids living here. You're going to die by yourself. And so many times, people, I know people's kids wouldn't be willing to take them, want them. No, nothing. You need to be careful of that too.
That was the only thing that got Dorothy Otterback out of that house in Louisville to us, is Wally Otterback finally telling her. I mean, we tried everything for health and, you know, grandchildren and then, you know. But she was in such great state. But he said, Mom, you're not allowing me to do what the Lord tells me to do. That got her heart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we finally got her down here.
Yeah.
But, you know, she landed that she'd been in a house for 50 years. She had been independent for...
ever.
Forever. Since she was 26. And, you know, she wasn't going to give it up. And so, but that's what got her down here. Thank the Lord. You know, but that's kind of right.
I wrongfully find myself thinking, I don't want to be a burden. And they've already said, we're going to take care of you. And I still think, you've got so much, 3 kids, and so much to do. But I have to get past that. So we can all think that. And you mentioned homes. I know of a situation where someone was taking care of their mother, and someone in the family did not want to put them in a home. They wanted to do just like what Wally told Dorothy, they wanted to take care of their mother and someone else in the family. If it was up to them, because she was so sick, they would have put their mother in a home. But anyway, it worked out.
You know, sometimes we don't stop and think how much help we do. Older people. Older people can be of help in a family unless they're just totally bedridden sick. Even old folks. His mother, when she was so sick, she hardly stood up. She folded the clothes. And it was, you know, there was no talking about it. That was her role. She was going on all the dishes. I couldn't find dishes for 3 weeks. I let her do what she could
do.
And it was not only good for her, it was good for me to see her that way. But it did help me. You know, I didn't have to fold the towels. I put her away because she was short and she couldn't always do that. But so sometimes we don't turn it around to where I would be more help to them if I'm living with them or next door to them or whatever needs to be. But even living with them having to worry about coming running back and forth, even if you live in the same town, even if you only live 20 minutes apart.
Yeah.
If they want you to come live with them, so and you... You really need that. It's, you know, as long as you be independent.
Yeah.
But men are very more stubborn about that. You know, he thinks so good about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind people at all.
And you know, Christians can be guilty. I live in Texas. So when my mom was coming out of the hospital, I went out to put her in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
But my sisters were working, they lived in Louisville. Guess who stayed in Louisville and 24/7 took care of my mother? They didn't take time off from their work. And they didn't stay the night with her. they missed out so much. But it isn't helping to say, with hospice, we can do this. We can take Mother home. And that was so foreign to them, even though my mother could take care of her. And so, that's what I was talking about, social norms. And getting so caught up in our lives that we don't stop and think what is really needed, what is the right thing to do. I'm not saying that there's no exception, but we got to thank God for the hospice and, you know, they were but we put a stop on that.
Well, and sometimes you reach a point, you don't have any options. I remember she took care of Leaky as long as she possibly could. But that's what's bad when you have your children young. You know, my daughter's not even 20 years younger than me. And so, she's in her 60s. And she could take care of me now, but if it's more real than this mother can at 15, I don't know if she'll be able. Well, my health will be fine. For my boys, but, you know, you just never know. But it's not the first resource. And her siblings would not help her. The way Dickie got into the nursing home, she needed knee surgery, and she could not take care of her mother. So she put her in there, and by the time she was over all of that, Dickie had gotten so bad with her bones they couldn't even turn her over without breaking something. And so, yeah, it was... So we can't condemn everybody.
There's circumstances that make it necessary.
It's sometimes it's your last resort, and that's all you have. Of course, Bobby was there every day. She went to see her mother every day for food. He took her the greens and all the stuff she liked. But she did the best she could, and sometimes that's all we can do.
And sometimes they're not very receptive.
Look at Acts 6. Oh, it's a quarter till. There's something else I have to cover today, but Linda mentioned this. Sally, would you read Acts 6, verse 1 through 4?
And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because of their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.
That's it. Okay, one thing I wanted to talk about is just what was really, when you study Acts, what is really going on here. The widows were being neglected, that's true. But what is Satan trying to do?
He's trying to divert their attention from the apostles.
He's trying to keep the apostles, everybody's right. He's trying to keep the apostles from teaching and making new converts. So that's what's going on here. But yes, the widows were being neglected, and the elders had a plan, and they said, this is how we're going to take care of this. And that's what they did. And I think this was probably deacons. And so that's what we have here. Any other comments on that? Okay, on lesson 10, what I wanted to go ahead and study today. Question one we're going to do next week. Paul is talking about younger widows, and let me get back to 1 Timothy. And then Okay, verse 11 says that refuse the younger widows, but when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And then next week we're going to talk about the wandering from house to house and being busybodies. But I wanted to talk about, again, this idea of being wanton. And so Paul is telling Timothy not to put him on the list. And what he's saying is they're going to have the natural desires that women have and that they're going to want to marry. So this is question 2 and 3. And so these are young widows. Could be any age, but this is someone at a young age who's lost a husband. And so Paul's talking about not putting them on the roll, and that they're going to want to marry. Any comments about that?
The only thing I see is this role is something that
keeps coming.
A young woman, why can't she get a job and support herself? So there's some kind of because it says they have disregard of Christ and they want to get married. They set aside their previous pledge. So they had some kind of whatever this was on the list. There must have been some kind of duties connected with it. I don't understand. But anyway.
Right.
Yeah, but serves the church, question mark, you know, some kind of duty, something like the woman in Luke 2.
Yeah.
This is not tabernacle, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anything else on question 2 or 3? Okay. Didn't want to cover that today. And we'll start at the top of lesson 10 next week. I didn't mention,